The British media think you're an idiot. They are trying to convince you that a foreign war on behalf of Israel is in your interests. It's time to expose the propagandists and the warmongers. The first casualty of war is truth. They're trying to tell you that this war is a defensive war. A blind man walking down the street can see that this is pure nonsense. It's a war of aggression, the ultimate crime. These lies just don't stop. We saw it in Iraq with Tony Blair's lies about weapons of mass destruction. We saw it in the destruction of Gaza. And now we're seeing it in Iran, setting the entire Middle East, and quite likely the world, on fire. So on day one, shortly after the assassination of Ayatollah Khomeini, a girls' school was attacked. It seems there are about 175 killed, 100 more injured. The following day, I picked up the Sunday papers. One of them is the Sunday Telegraph. I've been through it several times. There's no mention of that at all. Imagine if 165 Israelis had been killed in a bomb from Iran. It would have been the story on the front. It would have been covered everywhere. But the death of 165 young girls is just of no consequence at all. So I know the editor of the Sunday Telegraph, Alistair Heath. I sent him an email saying, you know, why didn't you cover this tragedy in the girls' school? I've not received a reply. And then I read his leader, the Telegraph. The Iranian regime is built on an Islamist doctrine which cannot meaningfully be negotiated with. It's simply untrue. The Iranians do negotiate, and they can absolutely be trusted as they stick to their promises. That was proven when Obama negotiated the JCPOA nuclear deal with Iran. In 2015, they stuck to it completely religiously until Trump walked away from it. And we know from the Omani foreign minister...
What has Iran agreed to?
Is the agreement that Iran will never ever have a nuclear material that will create a bomb. So there will be zero accumulation, zero stockpiling, and full verification. Even United States inspectors will have access.
Iranians were negotiating really hard to avoid a war. They'd actually offered a better deal than they'd signed off on in 2015. That was on the table, and that, of course, is when America and Israel struck. Charles Moore, the former editor of The Telegraph and the biographer of Maggie Thatcher, produced a puff piece on Benjamin Netanyahu as the great war leader of our age. In this puff piece, he failed to mention the fact that the International Criminal Court has charges out against Netanyahu for alleged war crimes in connection with the destruction of Gaza. The same applies in the Times. They ran a piece by Yoav Gallant, the former Israeli defense minister, advocating this war in Iran. Now, it's bad enough that they ran a piece by somebody facing war crimes charges, but not to tell their readers about it is simply disgraceful. And look at this Telegraph headline. I'm very disappointed in Kier. This is the Daily Telegraph taking the side of a foreign leader against a British Prime Minister. Now, bear in mind that foreign leader is a convicted felon. He probably committed rape. He's a proven liar. He's a bigger, he's a racist. And also the way in which they just sneer at justice and law. It says, Keir Starmer has put his obsessions with international law ahead of the most fundamental duties of the state. Now, I'd like to remind Sunday Telegraph, because it's quite a significant thing to remind them of, what Maggie Thatcher said about international law. It's all we've got. In 1981, she criticised Israel very fiercely for attacking an Iraqi nuclear reactor. Monty Modlin, he was a journalist on the Jewish Chronicle, confronted her. You're selling Israel down the river. She waved her finger at him and said, international law is all we have. Once we lose it, we lose everything. And this would have been Maggie's paper. It's now just dismissing international law as some curious obsession of the British Prime Minister. All of the right-wing media have gone this way. They are blindly supporting Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu's illegal unplanned, incredibly stupid, barbarous attack on Iran. Consequences is absolute catastrophe throughout the Middle East. The outbreak of regional war, stock markets will soon be plunging. It's clear that we face the likelihood of a global recession as oil prices spiral. We'll have some kind of civil war in Iran, and that will lead to millions of refugees fleeing for their lives. They'll come to the West. And then, of course, Nigel Farage, who's been one of the keenest advocates of this folly, will then start to protest about more boat people.
I'm normally incredibly nervous about intervening in foreign wars. I believe this is the right one.
And I find the actions of our Prime Minister, or the inactions, perhaps I should say, of our Prime Minister, frankly pathetic.
What you have here is a very strange phenomenon whereby the Brexiteers, who decided that they were going to fight for British freedom, are absolutely delighted to take the side of a foreign power which has been sponsoring what most people regard as a genocide in Gaza and is now conducting a completely illegal war in Iran. They're taking the side of that foreign leader, deeply implicated in Epstein, against a British Prime Minister who's not going far enough in his blind support for an illegal war of aggression. Now let's turn to the way that Iran is presented as a nuclear threat.
If we didn't hit within 2 weeks, they would have had a nuclear weapon.
This line has been peddled by Benjamin Netanyahu for two or three decades now.
If Iran acquires a nuclear bomb, it could use any one of these shadowy groups to threaten the United States, threaten the West.
Time is running out.
They're very close. They're 6 months away from being about 90% of having the enriched uranium for an atom bomb.
By next summer, at current enrichment rates, they will have finished the medium enrichment and move on to the final stage. From there, it's only a few months, possibly a few weeks.
Weeks away from having the fissile material for an entire arsenal of nuclear bombs.
They have the wherewithal, the stored up preserved knowledge to make a bomb very quickly.
And if not stopped, Iran could produce a nuclear weapon in a very short time. It could be a year, it could be within a few months, less than a year.
There's no evidence of this, and there never has been any serious evidence of it. And yet, constantly, and now in this conflict, Iran is presented as the nuclear risk. They don't point out that Israel has something like 200 nuclear weapons. Nobody knows for sure because they can't be inspected because they refuse to put themselves under international regulation like every other country which has nuclear weapons. To give one small example of this and how the media collaborates with the creation of this false picture. A little while before Israel launched its attack on Iran, there was a very significant earthquake near Dimona, which is an Israeli nuclear plant. It would have been perfectly reasonable to speculate, has Israel carried out a nuclear test? But by reading the British or American papers, you would never have the faintest idea about that. Whereas we've had repeated assertions amplified in the media that Iran was on the edge of producing nuclear weapons. Well, there's no evidence that this is the case, and even Donald Trump can't think so because he said their nuclear presence was absolutely wiped out a few months ago.
As you know, their sites were obliterated. They're very evil nuclear sites. They were, now has been proven. And we took out two of the other sites also. In addition to that, we finished them off. But I don't believe that they're going to go back into nuclear anytime soon. It's been obliterated. It would be years before they could ever get going.
The media are murtered about Israel's possession of nuclear weapons. Especially curious when it comes from the Times newspaper, which, after all, broke the story that Mordecai Vananu, who was part of the nuclear program, was blowing the whistle on it. So they know perfectly well what the situation really is, but you hardly ever get serious references to the fact that the real nuclear power, unregulated, with nobody trying to exert control of them, is Israel and not Iran. Nor have I seen a single reference to the fact that Ayatollah Khamenei was doctrinally opposed to nuclear weapons. He issued a fatwa against the possession of nuclear weapons. The Islamic Republic of Iran considers the use of nuclear, chemical and similar weapons as a great and unforgivable sin. That came from Iran's supreme leader. There's a paradox here. Israel, America, assassinated a leading opponent of nuclear weapons. It is worth remembering as well that Iran's civil nuclear program was developed with American encouragement and support under the late Shah of Iran. After the revolution, the Iranians put it on hold. They did seek to get nuclear weapons, and the nuclear claims made against Iran only evolved after George W. Bush made his announcement about the so-called axis of evil. The claims made against Iran over nuclear weapons have routinely been fabricated in order to produce an excuse to destroy the country. It's exactly the same technique which was used against Saddam Hussein in order to give an excuse for Tony Blair and George W. Bush to invade Iraq in 2003. Israel and America knew perfectly well, whatever they claimed publicly, that Iran was nowhere near getting hold of nuclear weapons. And that tells you something, that their primary motive for this attack was not to stop Iran's nuclear weapons, whatever you may read in the newspapers. It was the attempt to maliciously destroy the Iranian state and replace it by what is most likely to be total chaos. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Sir Richard Dearlove, the former head of MI6, has popped up.
We should have been clear-cut from day one and supported the Americans and the Israelis unequivocally.
Sir Richard Dearlove was the head of MI6, responsible for the production of fabricated information suggesting that Saddam Hussein possessed weapons of mass destruction, which enabled Britain and America to claim some kind of spurious and fake legality for their invasion of Iraq. It's often said that former MI6 bosses only pop up in the media when they're talking the book of their organization. Let's not forget that the origins of the current circumstances arise in the coup d'etat against Mossadegh, the prime minister of Iran in 1953, who made the mistake of getting democratically elected and then threatening some of Britain's ownership of BP oil. The coup was then effected against him, and we put in its place the Pahlavi regime, which ran a vicious police state, so horrible that it opened the way for the Ayatollah Khomeini to become supreme leader in 1979. So anybody wanting to understand what happened last week has to understand the disgraceful role played by the West in sabotaging Iranian democracy 70 years ago. By an eerie coincidence, we installed the Pahlavis, or brought them back, in 1953, and we're trying to install another Pahlavi now.
The state of Israel will be recognized immediately. We will pursue the expansion of the Abraham Accords into the Cyrus Accords, bringing together a free Iran, Israel, and the Arab world.
For the last two or more years, the media has failed to report the Israeli barbarity in the destruction of Gaza, the devastated schools, hospitals, massacred civilians, used torture, demolished educational institutions, been utterly merciless in warfare. And rather than cause a fuss about it, much of our media has actually praised the Israelis as a moral army, as deserving of the Nobel Peace Prize. Once you've created this media environment, it makes it much easier for America and Israel, supported by Britain, to set about doing the same thing in Iran. Already we are seeing the destruction of schools and hospitals, the destruction also of civilian infrastructure, and 200 or 300 people being killed every day. This all reminds me so much of the media coverage of the destruction of Gaza, where the media was basically bent. Palestinian lives were worthless, hardly recorded. When they were recorded, they were anonymous. Infinitely more priority was given to Israeli suffering. And we've already seen this kind of syndrome very much in operation in media coverage of the attack on Iran. Look at two contrasting BBC headlines. 9 dead in a missile attack on Israel as Iran strikes region. The way that's framed is very interesting. They absolutely say who the culprit is, who clearly that it was an Iranian attack, not as retaliation for the illegal assault on Iran. Then you look at the way they reported the attack on the school. At least 153 dead after a reported strike on school, Iran says. So unlike the 9 dead in missile attack in Israel, it's framed as some kind of accusation. And then what is this strike? Is it a lightning strike? No, it doesn't say who actually fired the missile which killed 153 people. And again, the BBC doesn't say these are young girls, because I think that's important in a headline like this. No, it's just 153 dead. They might be anyone. And so you find here, and this is very characteristic also of the framing of the slaughter of Palestinians in Gaza, there's different values on human life depending on whether you are Israeli or whether you're Iranian, or depending on whether you're Israeli or Palestinian. If you're a dead Israeli, there's much more value and accuracy. There's a lot of time spent just explaining what a tragedy it is, whereas the dead Palestinians or Iranians are just passively described. This kind of double standard and hypocrisy has been exposed again and again. Let's look at the comparator of Putin's invasion of Ukraine. Everybody immediately explained that this was an act of aggression, that the Russians had launched the war.
Today at 1, we're live in Ukraine as Russia invades in a major military assault by land, sea and air. Good afternoon and welcome to the BBC News at 1 from the Ukrainian capital Kyiv, where just before dawn, as air raid sirens sounded here, Vladimir Putin launched an all-out assault on this country. The NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said it was a brutal act of war of the type we thought was part of history in Europe.
In sharp contrast with that,
at 10, Donald Trump says the war with Iran was the last best chance to stop the country's regime. Hello to you. We're live in Tel Aviv as Donald Trump reiterates the war with Iran is designed to eliminate the threat from a terrorist regime, and going to war was the last best chance to stop Iran posing a threat to America.
Ayatollah Khamenei, whatever you might have thought of him, is the spiritual leader for tens, if not hundreds, of millions of people. How would we react if our king was assassinated? We would go wild. So these denunciations by Yvette Cooper and others of Iran for retaliating in the face of this extreme and barbaric provocation don't make any sense at all.
Once we saw the reckless nature of the Iranian response, which frankly shocked all of the countries across the Gulf who are now being targeted, I mean, they were shocked by the nature of the Iranian reaction.
If you go back 2.5 years when Benjamin Netanyahu launched what most people now regard as a genocide in Gaza, he could rely on cross-party support from the mainstream British political class, from Labour and from the Conservatives. Now, with this assault on Iran, it's slightly different. Yes, the Conservatives are gung-ho for war.
Whether we like it or not, we have been dragged into this war. We didn't start it. We need to do the right thing, the tough thing.
Yes, Sir Keir Starmer has allowed America to make use of British bases. But now, unlike 2.5 years ago, we have a leader of the opposition to war. Zach Polanski has spoken with real clarity and moral courage against Britain's support for this war and said that we must have nothing to do with it.
Dragging the UK into another illegal war does not make us any more safe. And polling shows over and over again that the majority of people in this country do not want our UK bases to be used by US military. And the only reason why this is happening is Keir Starmer is incapable of standing up to Donald Trump. It's really important that there's a vote in the House of Commons, and also we immediately withdraw permission for the US to use UK bases. We need to think about our own national security, keeping people in this country safe, and Keir Starmer being totally subservient to Donald Trump doesn't do that.
Zach Polansky is being denounced as an extremist and compared by one newspaper columnist in the Daily Mail to Hitler. There is a kind of madness about the way in this is being reported. Let's compare and contrast the coverage in the British media of Hannah Spencer, the plumber and plasterer who rather valiantly won the Gorton by-election. It's so obvious to anybody that Hannah Spencer is a really decent and good person and quite an ornament to British public life. We're lucky to have her.
None of us are perfect, but we're human, and we need more humans in Parliament who care about each other. And I promise I will always try my best, and I will always be decent, and I will try and do you proud.
Yet the British right-wing press turns on her as some sort of vicious person who can be compared to Hitler. Whereas elsewhere in the British media firmament, Benjamin Netanyahu is being called one of the great military figures of our time, and the Israeli army is being congratulated for the brilliance of its precision strike. Time and again, the British media proves that it doesn't have the interests of ordinary British people at heart. If we had a proper functioning free media in Britain, we could never be dragged into wars like this one. But we don't have a free media. We have an oligarch-owned media with the owners not in Britain, but dodging tax abroad. And the media has become a vital propaganda resource for the rich and the powerful and the violent. The first casualty of war is truth. That observation has never been more relevant than today. That's why we need Double Down News and organisations like Middle East Eye, for which I write. That's why I urge you to support Double Down News on Patreon, if you can, so that we can hold the powerful to account.